Several state lawmakers held a press conference this week to talk about better supporting our local farmers, specifically from the Senate Republicans. The lawmakers highlighted how Connecticut farmers are facing an unsustainable crisis because of low milk prices, but high production costs. And so they want to, again, bring significant tax relief to preserve and bolster the entire farming industry, including both dairy and food producing farms. But as you know, I love to always hear from the people who are most impacted by potential laws or changes legislatively than just hearing from the lawmakers, not to discredit them. But I wanted to hear from a farmer. I want to get some perspective. And so I'm very excited to welcome to the show Seth Baylor, who is from Oak Ridge Dairy in Ellington. And he is the owner of the farm, a fifth generation farmer. Seth, thank you so much and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Tell us what's going on. What are you? First of all, tell us a little bit about your farm and certainly what you've been now recently facing in regards to what the lawmakers are referring to.
Yes, absolutely. So again, yeah, I'm fifth generation farm. My great-great-grandfather started this farm back in 1890. We farm about 3,000 acres of land in Ellington, Somers, Enfield, East Windsor, and several other towns. We produce about 25,000 gallons of milk that goes to, you know, our plant on our farm where we bottle some of our milk. And then we also ship it out to Gaida's Dairy, and we supply their milk over in New Britain. So we are a well-established dairy farm, and we've invested millions of dollars over the past 10 years to be here for another five generations. Yet over the past 10 years or over history, our price is set on supply and demand on a world market. So, you know, it's set. We have really no control over it. It's supply and demand, and then there's a federal order that dictates what our price is. So, you know, our price is set, yet our costs, our expenses are continued to rise. So, you know, 20 years ago, our price of milk was the same price as it was this past month. So, it goes up and down. There's highs and lows. It's really, you know, current low is because of there is, it's not a lack of demand. Actually, demand for dairy has been increasing year over year because, you know, whole milk is on a rise, but, you know, cheese, yogurt, cottage cheese, all those products, there's a rise in dairy, yet supply on a world market has increased. And we've had some issues with tariffs and trade, and you know, a lot of dairy is traded across the ocean. So we're suffering in Connecticut because our costs are a lot higher than the rest of the country, yet we have to still make milk for the price that we're getting paid. So, you know, Connecticut dairy has 70,000 acres of working farmland. You know, we're over $100 million of impact with, you know, 800, almost 1,000 jobs just in producing that milk. But then you look at the full industry, and we look at, you know, all the jobs it's creating, from, you know, the processing plants to the cheese plants to all the other industries. It's
sure.
About a $2 billion industry in the state.
Wow.
You know, almost 3,000 jobs, around $70 million in taxes if you boil all the industry down into one segment. So there is a lot going on, and yet us as farmers are really struggling to stay alive just because of the recent decline. You know, price from 2025 to 2026 dropped about 25%.
Wow.
And you know, we have no control. And our price, you know, our minimum wage went up last month or at the beginning of the year, and
mm-hmm.
Things, utilities continue to rise. So it's just we're at a turning point where does the state of Connecticut want dairy here? And if they do, we need some support because we're producing safe and healthy food for our communities. And we feel like we're important, but I guess we're asking the lawmakers
if we actually are,
if they think so. So.
Yeah, and that's a great question. And Seth, I so appreciate you giving us that perspective, because sometimes you hear, you know, that milk prices are here, but, you know, inflation or, you know, everything costs a lot of money. And it's so true. But when you get to really have a concrete example of exactly what you're looking at. I think it's really helpful for people to understand that, not just lawmakers, but even, you know, the listeners of WACC. So first of all, Seth, you mentioned a couple of things there I want to break down. How would you say a good portion of your sales are local, or do you find that you have a lot of your sales going out of state, even out of the country?
No. So personally, like, can our farm, Connecticut is a milk deficit state. What that means is we do not have enough farms to produce the needs of the milk for Connecticut. So actually ship in milk from Vermont, New York. So we're not even self-sufficient for Connecticut. So all of the milk that is produced in Connecticut pretty much stays local.
Wow.
So, you know, it doesn't really affect the milk price. Unfortunately, doesn't really, or fortunately, whatever we look at it, but it's not really reflective on the store shelves. It's really like, you know, powder shipping over to China and, you know, cheese shipping over to Europe. There's a lot that goes into that price. But from a local standpoint, most of the milk in Connecticut stays very local. A lot of it is actually used for fluid milk, some for cheese, but a lot of it is actually fluid milk.
For consumption, so people can buy milk, sure.
About 10% of it goes to our own bottling plant that we built 2 years ago to, you know, try to control some of our cost. But, you know, most of it actually goes to Guida's Dairy in New Britain, Connecticut, and they bottle for a lot of the local stores and private label brands, you know, Aldi's, Costco's, those type of brands.
Okay. So, Seth, I'm curious, how do local farms like yours, again, a fifth generation, you know, owner of Oak Ridge Dairy, which started with your great-great-grandfather?
Yeah.
Yep. That's amazing. That's incredible. How do farmers survive then in Connecticut? I mean, if the milk prices haven't changed in over 20 years, and as you mentioned, it's only getting more and more expensive for everybody living in Connecticut, from electric prices to everything. Taxes, yeah, you name it, right? I mean, how do you guys survive?
That's why we've been so aggressive. You know, things have really shifted. You know, I've been at the farm for 13 years. I'm 37 years old. So I started when I was about 26. At that time, we were getting about a $3 premium, which I won't get into the details of how that all works, but we were getting a very good premium for being in Connecticut. You know, things have really shifted where now we actually get a deduction off of our milk price. So it's like over the past 10 years, things have really shifted and it's made it harder and harder. And that's just the way things are structured in our industry. I think it goes back to, I think the milk federal order was set in 1937. So things have really haven't changed, and it's been getting harder and harder and harder. And us as a business have really tried to diversify and, you know, starting our own brand. And we really see a future of Connecticut dairy with the amount of population we have. We have some advantages, but we cannot compete with the Midwest where, you know, they're building dairy farms that have more cows on one site than all of Connecticut alone. So it's just the industry has really shifted over the past 10 years. And it's put Connecticut at a real disadvantage for a production side. But from an overall, like, big picture of farms in Connecticut and open space and fluid, you know, milk and food security, like we saw it through COVID, like there's some very important things that Connecticut dairies bring to the state, and we just don't want to lose that. So it's been getting harder and harder, but that's why we're at the table and we've been walking the floors of the Capitol very often this year to try to get something in place where we can continue to go.
Seth Baylor is the owner of Oak Ridge Dairy here in Ellington, Connecticut, and we're talking about a push from lawmakers, specifically from the Republican Party right now, but hopefully it has bipartisan support. They are asking two things, really demanding two things. One, they would like to provide dairy farms with a $20 million aggregate tax credit to support them against the milk price downturns that they've been experiencing. And they also have a separate bill, which actually has a public hearing today, allowing milk producers to claim a credit against the personal income tax or corporation business tax. And I know there's been a lot of support, obviously, on both fronts from local farmers. And Seth, thank you again for sharing your story and helping us to really understand this and see the perspective from a farmer. My question is, do you think Connecticut focuses or values farmers enough? And I know that's a really big question, and I'm not trying to get anybody into trouble or anything like that, but it's hard to overlook that earlier this year, Governor Lamont needed to step in and order his administration to hold off issuing those new valuations for agricultural land. And that really only happened because thousands, tens of thousands of farmers needed to petition and make their voices heard and let them know, hey, these new revals are going to destroy us, maybe even shut us down. I mean, we were going to lose potentially a huge portion of our local farms and their production and all the things you highlighted before. And it really came down to saying, hey, let's look at how we even came to these numbers and this conclusion. And when you hear the governor say we had to cancel the assessments, kind of go back to the way we were doing it because of unforeseen lack of data, that to me is a very small overlook with a very huge impact. So that's why I asked the question, do you feel like there's enough of a focus on what farmers go through in Connecticut, understanding their impact, not just on our state, but beyond, and really backing them?
Yeah. So honestly, yes, I feel both sides of the aisle. Like we have some champions on both sides of the aisle. Like we've talked with everyone and we have not heard a no yet. And we've talked about everybody in the Capitol. So from, you know, leadership of Democrats to leadership of Republicans to, you know, chief of staffs in the governor's office, we have heard, we have had great support. And I think where the challenge is there's, you know, let's face it, agriculture, Connecticut's a small state and there's not a lot of land. So agriculture is not huge. You go to the west of us, you know, there's more farms in one county in Pennsylvania than there is in Connecticut. And, you know, so the disadvantage is Connecticut is a small state. There's not a huge agriculture community what's left, and we want to preserve what we have. So the challenge is there's not enough, or there's not as much need for, you know, the regulators or support. So we have a very good Department of Agriculture. They are very supportive. We have support across all parties. It's just, it might not be the first and foremost focus for leadership in the Capitol, because it might be overlooked a bit just because it's not huge. But we feel it's huge. And I think if we look at last year, we had a mini farm bill with some other things in it. And I believe it got like one no vote in the whole building. So like to think that we have support 100%, and, you know, everybody loves farms and farmers. It's just, we're trying to be heard this year and we're being heard. So I wouldn't say that there's a lack of support for farmers. It's just maybe our voices are smaller because there's not a lot of us left. You know, 20 years ago, there was double the amount of farms. Back in 1930, when my grandfather was just starting farming, there was, in Ellington, Connecticut, was once called the milkiest mile in America. There was 40 dairy farms just in Ellington.
Wow.
Now there's 80 in the whole state. So our voices are smaller and smaller, but we do have great support throughout the state. So,
well, that's good to hear. And like I said, I think it was really telling that it was a matter of weeks, really, that you heard, you know, with the situation I mentioned before, with kind of reversing course and canceling the assessments. I mean, it was a matter of weeks where you saw the farming community rally together and say, this is a huge issue. We are going to go out of business. Some of us may have to cut production substantially. And immediately they acted. So I was happy to see that. And obviously we have a very strong, you know, might be small, but very mighty farming community. And so I'm happy to hear that. How optimistic are you that some of these proposals will get approval?
I'm very optimistic. I do. We've made some great strides. We're in negotiation with, you know, OPM, and there's a lot going on. So I'm very, very optimistic. The farming community is very optimistic. And to really tell the sad truth is there's a lot of dairy farms that are holding on to hope with this. So if something doesn't go through, there will be farms going out of business, unfortunately. So we're a larger farm in Connecticut, which isn't large in the scheme of the United States, but a January of 2025 to January 2026, our pay price went down $500,000. Try to pay your bills with $500,000 less income in 1 month. It's challenging. So there will be farms that will go out of business. So I think optimism is what's carrying a lot of farms right now, and there's a lot of support on that. So I think, you know, we have to stay optimistic, and we are making very good progress, I feel, and we have some great champions on both sides of the aisle that are supporting this. So I'm optimistic.
Yeah, well, we certainly are going to follow this very closely. As mentioned, there's going to actually be a public hearing on some of the proposed legislation, which would include allowing milk producers to claim a credit against the personal income tax or corporation business tax. There's also separate legislation to potentially provide dairy farms with a $20 million aggregate tax credit to support them against what is happening with the milk price downturns. And Seth, again, I want to thank you so much for sharing your insight, sharing your story with us. It really does help to bring, I think, a face to an issue in the state. And so I thank you for that. And I also, I hope that you continue to have great success. Again, a fifth generation owner of Oak Ridge Dairy right here in Ellington, Connecticut. Seth, thank you so much.